So, you know, we've been talking about renewal and restoration, and talk's cheap, okay? You know, it's easy to talk about this stuff, but how do you do it? So there's a thing that's been on my heart. For the first day I was ordained. Actually, when I went in for ordination, I even talked to them about this subject we're going to talk about today. And so I'm there, I'm ready to be ordained, and I heard about this council that you got to go in front of, and you have to go in front of these people, these holy people, and you got to have your papers in line and your recommendations in line, and you have your 12 pages of everything you believe that they've already scrutinized. And everybody told me, oh, you gotta be worried about these people. They are really gonna put you over the coals. And I did really well. I had good recommendations, and my papers were in order, and my paper was pretty tight. I'd come out of college, I knew how to write. And my beliefs were solid. And we're all done. I passed. Then they asked me a question. They said, "Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns?" Now, maybe I should just button my lip, but I didn't. I said, "Well, there's this one thing. This thing about holiness. About us being holy 24/7. About us being sinless and perfect. I'm having trouble with that. I don't think you could do that." Oh, I'm ready for them just to kick me to the curb. That's what I figured was going to happen. I had to ask, though. This board, this terrifying board, these holier-than-holy people, about eight of them, looked at me and said, "You know what, Tom? That's a good question. Let's talk about it." And they sat me down for a half hour, and they talked about holiness. They didn't kick me to the curb. I did get ordained that day. At least I got recommended for ordination. And they said, "Tom, you have to understand. We began this movement, this Church of God Reformation, that was all about holiness, thinking you can do this. But we have, see, what I love about Church of God, what this denomination is we're in constant revelation. We don't think we got it all sewn up. We don't think we have all the answers. We think that God is still revealing things." I love that. I'm so appreciative of that. They said, "You know, we began that way, and we are a holiness movement, but we have learned that what we are really doing, and we are striving for holiness." I said, "I can get with that. I can go with that program. I'm good with that." And long story short, I was ordained. So my question to you today is, how can I possibly be holy? We've been talking about renewal, right? We're all renewed, and Jesus is in that cradle, and he's bringing life at Christmas and Easter. He is risen, and we are risen with him, and we are renewed. And we've been talking now about being restored, like a good piece of furniture that, you know, an antique is restored. But how do you do it? I like that we strive for it, but that's not the only answer. How can I possibly be holy? You work for it. I love that. Jesus, I love that. Let's see what Peter, you know, we're looking at 1 Peter right now. And remember Peter, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy that walked with Jesus. He's the guy that walked on the water. He's the guy that went into the drink. He's the guy that said, hey, I'll never leave you. I'll never desert you. And then is denying him three times. He's the guy who's standing in the square telling everybody that you crucified Jesus. And he doesn't care what they're going to do. Peter is like all over the map. But where Peter lands, you know, what's important in life is where you land. Where Peter lands is he is strong. He is bold. He is powerful. I mean, he might have sunk in the water, but he walked on the water first. I mean, Peter is the first guy out of the boat. So we're going to hear from Peter, starting with 1 Peter, verse 13. You know, Scripture is powerful. You know how I was talking about that Bible bingo and about the lyrics? If you find what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us in a verse, you'll have a revelation. In every solitary verse, you will have a revelation. That's how powerful Scripture really is. Peter says to the churches, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's that revelation, right? At his coming. So first of all, our minds have to be alert. We have to be awake. We have to be aware. We have to be sober, meaning that we're not all distracted, that we're all over the place, or that we're drunk, or whatever other thing that is distracting us. We have to be alert and fully sober. We have to look at the Word, and we have to take it in. We have to let it gel. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, Holy Spirit, like I did while we were singing today, Holy Spirit, please, will you speak? And Holy Spirit, can we hear what you have to say? We have to be alert and fully sober and asking for some help here. Because Jesus is going to be revealed at his coming. Now most people would think, well, at his coming, we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. We're talking about, you know, when he reappears. I don't think that's what they're talking about here. Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. When does Jesus come? All the time. He's here right now. Where two or three are gathered, I am here with you. He is here at that altar. He is sitting right here at this seat. He is actually in some of our praise. He's actually inside of us. He's not very far away. He is being revealed. When we shine, like we talked last week, when we shine, he is being revealed. We're not shining. Jesus is shining in us. Continuing. As obedient, say that word with me. Obedient. Obedient. How are we doing with that? How are we doing about being obedient? You know, it's one thing, you know, I talk about that disciple making group. And so I give them all certificates when they end the course. Well, the first three classes I ran, I messed it up because I gave them a verse and I did it by memory and I left out a word. I gave them the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all ye nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. Guess what word I left out? Obey. And I just put it teaching them everything I taught you. But it's not just teaching them everything, it's to obey. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I don't know about you, but I can relate. I've done some stupid things in my life. I've shared some of them with you. Things that were... See, ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance simply means you don't know better. Ignorance simply means you haven't figured it out yet. Isn't that us? Aren't we sometimes ignorant? It's not an insult. It's just a reality. It's just truth. Do not conform to the evil. Oh, that's a hard word, isn't it? Whenever I talk to Christians and I say that you're evil, I'm always a little like, they're not going to want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But there is a reality that there is, you know, this battle going on. And you know, when I think of the evil desires, the one word comes to mind is me. Me. Me, 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 me. What do I need? What do I want? What do I get out of this? What can you do for me? Me. Me, 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 me. And if I get enough me, me, me's, I go to evil places. Because it's not about you anymore. It's not about anybody else. It's about what can I get out of the deal? And that always turns out bad. As obedient children, do not conform to the me, me, me evil desires you had when you lived. You had. It's past tense. You had. Continuing. Be just as he who called you is, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Now that's nice to say. So God is holy, and now I'm supposed to be holy. How's that working out? Maybe it's like when I stood in front of that board. It's not working out real well for me. It doesn't work out real well for me day to day to day to day to day. See, Debbie's just like, I put this up to my class, my disciple makers, and they came up with the punchline right away, too. Now, you guys are no fun when you do that, okay? So, to me, this is a whole revelation. But she's dead on. She got to the end already. And I praise God for that. Not sure where we're going to go now, but I praise God for that. Because it's only as Jesus is in me, as he is revealed, that I am holy. It's only as I strive to be like Jesus that I can be holy. It's only as the Holy Spirit works his stuff in me that I can be holy. See, Tom, remember that evil word? Tom is not holy. Okay? Sorry. No. And I've met a lot of holy rollers in my life, man. I have met so many ministers that tell me that we can be holy 24/7. I mean, they are talking perfect and sinless, and they are delusional. Because see, like Debbie just said, if we can be holy on our own, what do we need Jesus for? What do we need the Holy Spirit for? But we're delusional when we think that. And as a matter of fact, that's when we get into the ego and into the pride. We get like the Pharisees. We get all off track. We get like Paul when he was Saul and he wanted to persecute everything. We get really whacked out when we get that idea. Continuing. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Now, see, this is another one that people don't like. They don't like this idea that you're supposed to fear God. God is this loving, he's this great teddy bear, you know? He just loves us, you know? And there's no room for any kind of fear. We don't have to fear God. Malarkey. You know, when you don't have fear, you know what you have? Madness. You have chaos. You know, you need to have some reverent fear. And let's not pass this off. It's simply reverence. Oh God, we just revere you. No, I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about shaking in your boots. I'm talking about thinking twice before you do something. I'm talking about we're standing before a holy God. And it's like Isaiah, he says, I'm standing before an old holy God. And he can see how dirty I am.
Being afraid of being sent to hell.
And being afraid of your destiny. Being afraid is not a bad thing. When we talk to our kids, Don't we want to put a little fear in them? Like, don't touch that stove. It's going to burn you. We're going to be at the ER room. I'm going to be stuck there for 8 hours with you because you stuck your hand in that flame. And I told you not to. Obedient. Remember that obedient word is back again. We need some reverent fear. I fear God. But, you know, the thing about that, I want to qualify that a little bit, because I fear God. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. All-loving. And he has me in the palm of his hand. And he says, I will not let a hair on your head be harmed. I like that. I like that, the most powerful God. I like that, the most powerful entity. I like that God has me in his hand and nothing can touch me. Let me tell you, with Jesus in you, nothing can touch you. The enemy can't touch you. Continuing. 1 second, David. I'll talk to you after service. Continuing. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, empty. Ever feel like life is a little empty? Ever go through phases where it feels completely empty? Ever feel that void? Can anybody relate? And did you ever have the times where you're just on cloud nine and everything's going good? I think of weddings, and the celebration going on. I think of a birth of a child like Rachel when Savannah was born. There's times where we're just on the mountain. And there's times where we are so deep in the valley we can't even see the mountain. Seeing our children and our grandchildren being baptized, praise be to God, there's nothing better. But the empty, where does that emptiness come from? I have a theory. God showed me something. I'm telling you, you just slow down scripture. Let it breathe. Let it take it in a little bit. That emptiness has always got one component in it. No matter if that emptiness, because, you know, when you get that diagnosis, or your loved one or your child gets that diagnosis, that emptiness starts, that black cloud starts forming. I know you can relate. And that emptiness starts taking over. And, you know, when you lose that job, and you don't know where the next paycheck's coming from, that emptiness starts taking, that void starts taking over. When you just deal with some depression because you got clinical depression, that emptiness, that void, it always has one component. It always has the same component. It always has the same delusion. It always has the same lie. I am alone. I'm alone in this. Nobody understands. Nobody gets it. Nobody can help. I'm at hopelessness. It's always the absence of God. It's always the absence of hope. It's always the absence of Jesus. Because when you put Jesus and you put God and you put the Holy Spirit into the equation, it's like Solomon figured it out. It's not futile anymore. It's not worthless anymore. Everything has meaning. Every leaf on every tree has meaning. Everything has meaning. You know, I just went through a scare. I'll share it with you. It's very, very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. So I went and saw that eclipse thing, and I did something silly, and it was accidental, and I accidentally took a glance, and I saw the sun full-blown in eclipse mode. I tell you, I freaked out. I felt pretty alone and empty. Let me tell you, I didn't know, because you could go blind. And not only can you go blind, you can go blind next year. Because I started researching it. Actually, I had Mary research it because I was afraid if I researched it, I'd start finding stuff and I'd start mimicking symptoms. I'm just being straight up with you. This is not my proudest moment, okay? And so I lived with that for about a week. I even came in here last week and did a message with that, because that black cloud was here, man. Let me tell you, I was looking at whether or not I could go blind. And I know better. I won't give you all the details. I'll tell you the story later. It was silly. And then I finally went to an optometrist Thursday, and the optometrist, God is so good. The optometrist, I'm really embarrassed to tell this guy a story, okay? Stupid. And I really did want to go see him. But, you know, Mary found out something about, like, you might be able to get some kind of medicine that helps you. Okay, some hope, you know. If there is a problem, and I know it's all delusional anyways, that there really isn't a problem here, but I do astronomy, okay? So I love astronomy, and I don't want that taken away. And even if it's an inkling of it, I don't want it taken away. I'm buying a precision instrument, and it's like kind of futile if I buy a precision instrument, but I blow my eyesight, even if it's only a tenth of a degree, I just can't afford that, okay? So all kinds of weird thoughts are bouncing all over my head, and I'm in the optometry office with the guy, and I've already told the nurse. Already that was embarrassing enough. You stupid? So God is so good. So the guy who's the optometrist said, oh, yeah. So you saw the total eclipse? I said, yeah. He said, well, we had 99% here in Michigan. I was cutting the lawn. And, you know, I looked up at it, and I had sunglasses on, and I looked at it for 8 seconds. I said, 8 seconds? He said, yeah, I forgot, you know, and I just kind of looked at it, and I said, eh, it looks a little weird. And he said, you don't need to worry. So I don't suggest you ever do what I did. Don't ever do that. That is really, really, really stupid. Don't do that. You don't want to take any chances, even for a split second. I mean, I went like, whoa, no, okay, that's bright. And he even said the same thing to me. He said that, you know, I was amazed at 99%, man, it was still really bright. It's blinding bright, and it was, because that's what I saw. So I see all that because emptiness was coming, and it was devouring. It was taking over. And it was an illusion. And the enemy was distracting me. He was getting me way off my game. I had classes to teach. I had a message to preach. He was getting me off my game. And God came through, and he gave me a message last week. And that was not me, man. I walked into my disciple-making group, and I was so tired. I didn't know what to talk to them about. I just wanted to go home. And he did this thing about where are you guys going, what does your church look like, and what's your next step, and we just started moving. And my head was in a cloud. I was feeling empty. But see, when God comes in, the emptiness goes out. That's what happened with my disciple-making group. I told them this week about the whole story. I said, you guys don't understand. You don't understand what happened here last week. We had the best session we have had in 6 months. And I was in the worst shape I've ever been in. My head was in a cloud, and then I had to admit to them what happened. So, when God is put into the equation, the emptiness is gone. Next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So what we were talking about, that we were bought by gold or silver or perishable thing, but instead by the precious blood of Christ. We talked about that last week, but one drop of that stuff, man, and woohoo, we're off, man. What inspiration from the Holy Spirit, and whoa, we're going. So, I mean, we are without blemish and without defect because we have Jesus in us and through us, and he shed his blood on that. That's what we talked about on Easter. That's how he got us renewed, continuing. He was chosen, Jesus, before the creation of the world, which he created, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. What does that mean? I always come back to, well, what are we talking about? what was revealed in these last times. Here we go again. Let's get off on that bandwagon. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Better sell all your possessions. June 21st, they said one time, and people sold all their stuff. And then June 22nd came around, and everybody was broke. I can't tell you how many times people have told me that we are in the last days. However, there's a problem with that, because Jesus said himself, you will not know the day, date, or time. So I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about, because Jesus said you won't know, period. So last times, so we're not talking about that. He was chosen, Jesus was chosen by God, we know that. Before the creation, he created everything, we know that. But was revealed, in these last times, for your sake, he was revealed. Jesus is revealed now. The last times are now. The last times are always. The last times are past, present, and future. We are in the last times. We were in the last times last year. We were in the last times 10 years ago. We will be in the last times 10 years from now. Until Jesus comes again, we are in the last times. He is being revealed, continuing. Through him, you believe in God. Let's talk about the past. Through Jesus, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Glorified him. I told you about this before, about why did Jesus die. It wasn't until I figured out the glorified thing that I figured that whole equation out, that when Jesus died, when he was glorified, it says this in Scripture, then he sent the Holy Spirit. So when he was glorified, when he died, was risen, went to the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. That's important. Because the Holy Spirit is now living inside of us. So Jesus is revealed as the Holy Spirit in us is revealed. That's what Debbie is talking about here. That as we reveal Jesus, he's in us. Continuing. Now that you have been purified, here we go, holy. Now that you have been purified, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Man, Jesus says that over and over and over again to his disciples. Go love each other. Go show love. Go show respect. Go show compassion. Go be there for somebody else. Man, you know what's great about the church? Is the church is there for each other, man. When you pray for each other, woo! There is nothing more beautiful than when somebody prays for me. When somebody prays for my Katie Ash, oh my gosh, I was just at that men's group and the guy came up to me and said, you know, how's your daughter doing? We've been praying for her. Yeah, I got a lot of people praying for her, man. I'm telling you, it's not coincidence that the decompression's kicking in. It's not coincidence that a second opinion is saying, hold off on that surgery. It's not coincidence that Katie Ash is getting in their head like, oh, okay, maybe I can wait. I don't have to panic like the surgeon's telling me to panic. Love one another. Well, when I go to with Zanetta, that place, wow, that place is just filled with love. And I'm going to embarrass her a little, but I'm going to do it anyways. The thing out of that whole day, the thing that struck me the most is this one woman was, trying to remember her name, Diane, was crying. And she's sitting, you know, maybe about seventh row back here. And immediately, Zanetta left from the front next to me, and she walked over her, and she just draped her and held her. Wow. What a showing of love. And it's like I said last week, you're all shining. Don't get me wrong. You're all doing this. It's just one example. But you guys shine. You guys show you love one another, man. The church is so important because we love one another. Continuing. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. You know what imperishable means? Not destroyed. Nothing can touch you. Who's the guy with the pants, you know? You can't touch this? MC Hammer? You can't touch this. I'm telling you, you need to understand that. With the Holy Spirit in me, you can't touch this. With being the idea that I'm going to go blind, you can't touch this. With a diagnosis of one of my best friends, you can't touch this. You can't. I am imperishable. This body might be perishable. That's what we do when we do those eulogies, man. That body might go, but that spirit, you can't touch this. We are imperishable. We've been born again, like new, renew, restore. Continuing. Four. This is from the Old Testament. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. They're beautiful. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. It happens every year. Annuals or perennials, they're gorgeous for a while. For a while. It's so beautiful what God has done. All the rainbow colors just blows my mind. The texture. You ever look inside of a rose? I love the rose. The rose has depth. And there's layers and 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 layers. And then there's the layers that haven't come out yet. That's just a single rose of what he has done. And the color. You ever see one of those roses that you get, you know, the roses, if you get one with a really, really tight bud, those are the best because they're going to blossom. And they get like the size of your hand, fully blown out. And all those layers come out. And that's just one species. That's just one rose. But it will fade. Continuing. But the word of the Lord endures forever. I'm telling you, I'm on the whole thing this year. The power of the word. The word of God is alive. It is powerful. All these things we're talking about today, all that is looking at what the words are and letting God reveal. That Bible bingo is just going to be circling words. That looking at the lyrics, it's just words. But these words are powerful. They endure. They are imperishable forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So all of this, every message we give, every time we meet, every time we share, that is the word. The word is God. And the word was with God. And the word created everything, and nothing that was created was ever created except by the word. And the word became flesh. And God spoke and said, let there be light. Do you see what is going on with the word? It endures forever. Jesus is the word. He created everything. Everything finds its purpose in him. The word is in you. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word of being imperishable, enduring. We thank you for your word that you're always with us and never leave us. We thank you for your word that you take that black cloud and you wipe it out of the sky. We thank you for that word that when we're afraid of going blind, that you bring us back our sight and our sanity. We thank you for that reverent fear so that we can have enough sense not to touch the stove. We thank you, dear Father God, that you are all powerful, all knowing, all present, and all loving. We thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Stand and respond with our Lord as he revealed himself to us today.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us. I want us to hear that, lives in us. So I want to tell you how to be holy today. It's not by doing everything perfect, that won't work. It's not by being sinless, good luck with that. It's not by your own efforts. It's about lives in us. But how do you do that? How do you let Jesus out? How do you get Tom out of the equation? And I'm going to give you the word, and it's the word that we've been using in our Doing Life group on Wednesday nights. God has been giving it to us for over 6 weeks now, that it's about submission. We have to submit. We have to let him out. We have to go to the foreground. We have to go to the background, bring him into the foreground. We have to let him. We gotta say, hey, dear Holy Spirit, may you speak, and I'll just shut up now. We have to submit. And it is so hard to submit. Because submitting means that you're not in control anymore. Submitting means that you're allowing God to take over. Submitting it means that you trust the entire situation and you're not going to fix everything. It's really hard to submit, but we must submit to be holy.
You have to give him control.
You have to give him control, Debbie says. Amen, amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Father God, We thank you for reminding us our assignment this week is to submit, to take whatever situation we got going on, be it big or tiny, be it a little argument or a all-out brawl, be it a concern or a reality that we face, whatever it may be, past, present, and future, we submit it to you. Our assignment is just to give you whatever we need to give you and to not be alone in it. Not do what I did with the eclipse thing. Don't carry it by yourself. Dear Father God, we ask that we can submit to you and be 100% with one another. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord. Have an amazing week. Go out and submit. See what he does.